A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
The Bible. It's the Word of God. Sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
In Hebrews 13, like every chapter in this New Testament book, there's so many verses that really carry a lot of meaning. Let me read a couple of them and then we'll discuss this final chapter of Hebrews, verse 14, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Well, welcome to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here, along with Bert Harper, and we're very honored that you're listening. And if you've got a copy of the Bible, turn to the New Testament book of Hebrews. It's near James. It's kind of in the second half of the New Testament, but Hebrews 13. And we'll pretty much wrap that up today. Tomorrow's going to be Fire Away Friday and just all questions all the hour. But Bert, I've thoroughly, as always, I've thoroughly enjoyed our look at this very, very rich, substantive book, the book of Hebrews.
Well, Alex, I'm so thankful you said and suggested this book, and it has been rewarding to me. And I'm going to do something, and I've done it just about every one of these programs, remind people who Hebrews was written to. Now, we wonder who was writing it. A lot of folks think Paul, some Apollos, others, but we don't know for sure who wrote it. But we know who he wrote it to. He wrote it to Jewish believers who were struggling in their Christian identity because Christians were suffering. They had come under persecution, but the Jews, they had theirs. It was an acceptable religion. And so they were saying, you know, we can keep our relationship with Christ, but go back to the Hebrew, the law. And the writer says, really, no way. It's far better. Jesus is far better. Don't even isolate one bit about the thought. And with that in mind, I think verse 15 really comes alive, knowing that it was difficult and hard. It says, therefore, by him, listen, it is all by Christ. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, Alex, again, you and I both have said, this sounds like a lot like Paul. This sounds exactly like Paul. A rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, he would say, even when he was in prison. So this encouragement, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to him. Alex, listen, when you're going through hard times, difficult ways of journeying through life, praise the name of the Lord. When things happen that you were not expecting, praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Praising for who he is. Sometimes we wonder, it's hard to praise him for what's happening. It's hard to praise him for what people are saying. But we can always praise God for who he is, can't we?
Well, did you ever sing that song maybe in VBS coming up or something? We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And with our lips may we make known. Well, that's what it says to do in verse 15. While we're talking about music, I would be remiss if I did not mention the great Happy Goodman family. Some of the people know, and one of the great songs, it's a really fun song, Looking for a City. And song was inspired by verse 14, that we seek. You remember it says, Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. See, I love life. Life is just a rich tapestry, but down here there is no continuing city. Everything down here is very temporary, isn't it? And so if you're a believer, you're headed to that city which actually does have foundations. According to the book of Revelation, there are gemstones and streets of gold and foundation of jewels. You know, that's the city of God that he's built. Now, by him, therefore, verse 15, and 15 to 25, we'll conclude this chapter. In other words, by the grace of God, led by the Lord, inspired and empowered by the Lord, mindful of all these things, the Christ who saves us, the home we have in heaven, the presence of God, and the life worth living down here, in light of all this and 100 things more, we praise his name, don't we?
We do. Now, one more thing, looking for those words that you see repeated, look how it starts off in chapter 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue.
Continue.
Look what it says here in verse 14. We have no continuing city down here, but we seek one that is continuing. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice for him for praise of God. Alex, this is the whole idea of discipleship. It's the whole idea of sanctification, being made holy, is continuing in the faith that you started in. Paul would refer to that quite a bit, continue in the faith that was given to you. I was reading in Corinthians today, 1 Corinthians, and Paul said, I couldn't give you the meat of the word, but you need to continue in those things that I first shared with you. And so if we have anything to say to our audience that's listening today and they're saved, continue giving praise, continue following him, continue to share him with others. Listen, that's a good word, continue in what God has given us. We don't need to stop now, do we?
We don't, you know, continue to share with others. Let me read verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now, the word communicate there in verse 16, it's not just talking or broadcasting. I've got the King James, and, you know, it really means to share. Yeah. And to be generous, it means to contribute and participate in giving. And, Bert, I believe that we are to tithe and give to the church, where we go to church. And, you know, let me just say, if you're a born-again believer, God's best for you is that you would be a part of a local church. And I think we're supposed to give. And when it says, you know, communicate, not only tithes, but offerings as well. And it's another sermon for another day, perhaps, but you can't outgive God. Honor God in your giving. And I think 16 alludes to that. Now let's go to 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Bert, there's a lot that we could say, I think, profitably about verse 17. I've had youth ask me, even this summer, why do I have to obey my parents? You know, I've had kids ask me, they'll say, you know, I've got one parent is a believer, one parent is not. Why do I have to obey my parents? When it talks about, you know, God has allowed the authority figures over us to watch after our souls, I think whether they know it or not, that parent, that employer, that teacher, that authority that you're accountable to, it helps us remember that we're all accountable to God. And Bert, haven't some of the most, I guess, rigorous responsibilities built your character? Don't these things shape us and really improve us?
They really do, Alex. And it goes back, and we haven't used that word, but it is discipline, you know?
Yeah.
Discipline,
yeah.
That we discipline ourselves. We have disciplines like reading the scriptures, disciplines of prayer, disciplines of attendance. All of these are disciplines. And sometimes it's, oh, man, it'd be a lot easier not to do that. It might be easier, but it would not be profitable. And that's the whole idea here. Profitable. It's unprofitable not to do those disciplines. Now, let me share with you about the word rule over you. It has two contexts. Yes, those authority, but it also has the idea of example, Alex.
Okay.
It's not just doing what the preacher, quote, teacher says. It's following them. It is an example to the flock, and that's exactly what a leader is. Now, if they're not examples, do you follow them that way? No. They still may speak truth, and you honor the truth no matter what vessel it comes from. You hear? You know, if truth is truth, it's truth, no matter the one that is speaking and saying it. But let me just share with those who are leaders, those who are pastors, teachers, chaplains, whatever you might be, listen, you may have heard this said, your life speaks so loudly, I cannot hear what you're saying. In other words, the way you're acting, the way you treat people, the way you operate, it is inconsistent. It's not running parallel with one another. So our walk and our talk need to be consistent. And so obey those who have rule over you. I don't think this is necessarily just talking about the ones that are following, but let me just share with you. I think this puts on us a great responsibility. Those of us that are pastors, those that are teachers, man, we've got a great responsibility in every way, don't we, Alex?
Well, we really do. And let me say this, too. There is a responsibility on the teacher, the preacher, the friend. Look, all of life is relationships. We've got family, friends, people all around us. Even the people that we're only just very remotely interacting with, we are to be a role model. And it says that they must give an account that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I looked up the word there about giving an account with grief. And it's really the word groaning. And, you know, imagine being before God, and let's say they said, Alex and Bert, the Lord said X amount of people listen to Exploring the Word. Did you guys faithfully give forth the Word of God? And I know that to the best of our abilities, we're trying to do that. And maybe there's X amount of people that have grown deeper in the Lord. Praise God. Maybe there's a certain number of people that have come to Christ. Praise God, praise God. And then there's a certain number that listened and they said, I'm not gonna listen to, I don't want to pay any attention to those crazy old guys, you know. I think we would groan, wouldn't we?
We would.
And so we need to try our best to be profitable and bear fruit. I hope the people that listen, myself included, all the people that invested in me, I don't want it to be for naught, you know. Let's all stand before God joyfully one day that the Word of God profited us by bringing us to Christ and bearing fruit for the remainder of our lives.
Amen, Alex. This reminds me, in the book of Philemon, which Paul wrote, the more I study Hebrews, the more I say, it probably was Paul.
And gotta
he
be.
Uses, he
gotta
uses
be.
This word unprofitable. Listen to what Philemon said about the servant Onesimus that was taken the letter of Colossians and the letter of Philemon back to that church. And it says in verse 11 of Philemon, and he talks about Onesimus. Let me read verse 10. That would put it into context. I appeal to you, my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. Listen, if you've been unprofitable with your life, you can be like Onesimus and completely turn your life around to Christ, and you can become profitable, not just to everyone around you, but to the kingdom of the glory of God. Well, this is Exploring the Word. We're finishing up the book of Hebrews, and we're going to come back in just a moment as we continue the study of this great book. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
These days my heart's always on the run. These days the world's spinning out of control. Sometimes it's hard to feel at home, but I believe that you and I are in the right place at the right time. God called us by name.
Amen. I had to wait until they got to the climax there. Sometimes it takes a little longer for songs to get to that praise moment, but that does. Amen. We're in Hebrews chapter 13. Bert and Alex here on Exploring the Word. And let me just throw out a word. Our Facebook page is growing. Brent does an awesome job. And Brent, get your microphone and give us an update of where we are and how far away we are from 10,000.
Well, just guess, Bert.
I'd say we're close to 900 away.
That would be a really good guess. 9,070 followers so far.
Okay. That means 930 if my math in my brain does it real quick, Alex. So we appreciate that. Now, why would we do that? It's because it gets Exploring the Word, and it's on there each time. But also we put a few extra things in there, you know, a picture of you when you're traveling or something, someone here at the studio. And so we're excited about that. So if you are not like us on Facebook, it would be great. But Alex, look at verse 18 and look at these. Now, I'm in the New King James. Sometimes the King James and New King James start out different. But notice this, pray for us. That's exactly what Paul, the writer of Hebrews says. They know who's writing because he would have made it known if they did not know. These Hebrews knew who was writing. And so the writer says, pray for us. Now listen what we want to pray for. For we're confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. People pray for, notice this, it's for living at this point in time and not just teaching, living. And Alex, I want to tell you, the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives is for living. It is to live a godly and peaceful life here upon earth. And then the anointing, the unction that he gives us at certain times for task. Notice in the Old Testament how, especially Samson, when he had something that was big, it says the Spirit would come upon him. Now, again, I'm not comparing myself to any one of the Old Testament, but I know what that is. and a certain time when something that's coming up that is pretty big, I've looked at it and I say, oh God, I've got to have your help. I need your strength. I've sensed an extra portion of the power of God, his unction, being given to me at those times. And so here he says, pray for us, for we're confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But the main thing, regardless how good you preach, no matter how good you sound giving a speech, we're to live honorably. And there's a little clip that will play on AFR ever so often. It's from Don Wildman. And he says, we can be faithful. We may not can Amen. Sing a song. We may not can teach a lesson. We may not be able to do this. But, Alex, we can live faithfully. And that's exactly what this writer is saying. Pray for us that we'll be consistent in our life and bring honor to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, 18 and 19, you know, where Paul says, pray for us. The word there is call out to God. And then he says, I beseech you the rather to do this. It's two different words. It's a little bit of a word play because verse 19, he basically says, I'm calling out to you that for us, you will call out to God. I beseech you that back in 18, you're going to, for us, beseech God that we have a good conscience. He goes on in 20 through 25, you know, he's kind of landing the plane. You can tell when a preacher is beginning to wrap up.
Hey, Alex, yeah. I love closing so much. Every sermon, I do it three or four times.
Amen. Exactly.
Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I've sat in many a sermon, and I'm thinking, okay, it's a good time to land the plane.
Yeah.
And then I've thought myself, okay, it's a good time to. In my mind, I'm thinking, Alex, why didn't you wrap up?
I know. But, been there, done that.
Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. Okay, in other words, let's summarize in light of all this. Now, the God of peace, and again, it all hangs on Jesus and his perfect work and his resurrection. The writer, probably Paul, but whomever, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, references the resurrection of Jesus. And who is he? That great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So, you know, a benediction has good theological foundation. You've heard pastors give a benediction in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Well, this is just a beautiful benediction. And what do we want to see in the life of those that receive it? Verse 21, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then there's four more verses. But one thing before time fleets away, I've got to comment on what I think is kind of a church history surprise in verse 23 about Paul's the one he mentored, Timothy. But let's talk about this. Anything you want to say about this benediction,
yeah,
this beautiful summation?
Let me share with you. Notice what he does here in 20 and 21. He is reminiscing and bringing up what they've been talking about in such a neat, neat way. First of all, peace. That's a Hebrew greeting. He's writing to Jewish. And so here he says, may the God of peace. He's putting together their new walk in Christ with the Old Testament, because it's talking about the new covenant. It talks about peace. But then notice what else he says, through the blood. That's the sacrifice of the everlasting covenant. That's the new covenant. So here the writer of Hebrews is bringing up, I would say, recall of what they've been studying here in just a few words. When y'all see those words, I remember, man, that's what he taught about the covenant. That's what he talked about the sacrifice. And then the words in verse 21, make you perfect. The word is really
complete.
Now,
yes,
it has four meanings, and I want to throw these on you, Alex. This is powerful. One, it means to set a bone, make it complete, and another, restoration. Another one is equip a ship, that ship that's going to sail It needs to have everything on it before it leaves dock, you know? You can't just run in anywhere and get something like you do on a road trip. And then it also means a soldier that is prepared. In other words, they're fully equipped. The armor of God, put on the whole armor of God. And then finally, it also means a mended net to go fishing. So when you see that make you perfect and you understand all the words, the things that that word means, it is talking about us as believers following Christ. We've been made right with him. He's equipped us with what we need. He has mended us and prepared us for what is laying ahead, that we might, what, catch fish, that we might be evangelistic. So when you read these verses 20 and 21, I'm overwhelmed at the writer as he puts this in conclusion. And I would say he wraps up what Hebrews was about, but also why he would write it so they would be ready to finish the task.
Amen. Well said. Well said. And they should be able to finish the task. Here, verse 22, and I beseech you, again, I'm pleading with you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, or in other words, allow it or bear it up. In other words, yield and internalize and embrace what I'm saying. For I've written a letter unto you in a few words. That's a little bit of irony, because actually it's 6,900 words. I looked it up, 6,913 words in the original language, 303 verses. So it's like this little thing I've written, which honestly, if there's a New Testament book more complex than Romans or Revelation, it's got to be this.
Yeah.
And I love the book of Hebrews. Warren Wiersbe, I quoted at the beginning, he felt like it was the most complex. I'm not going to say difficult, because we see Jesus is in here. But with all of the Old Testament references, Warren Wiersbe, and he was certainly a renowned scholar, he felt like it was the most theologically deep, complex New Testament book. So when the writer, I'm going to say I think it was Paul, says, you know, bear up and receive this little thing I've written you, that's irony.
I
mean, it's not little, it's very substantive.
Alex, now, let me stop here now. Let me notice, I think it's little compared to what he could say, because remember what John said about his gospel? Were you going to say that?
I was going to say, if everything Jesus said and did were recorded, all the books in all the world could not contain it.
That's
and,
it.
And you were going to say that?
I was going to say that, brother.
Folks, honestly, we don't prepare this ahead of time. I think that's the Holy Spirit, don't you?
I do. But it is true. Hebrews, what it contains is amazing. And he writes it out, but he leaves the more practical things on how to use it to the end, rather than incorporating it all in through it like Paul did with most of his books. Most of his books, he would do that. And here it is at the end that this writer puts it in. Go ahead.
Well, this might be another little harbinger that our human author here was the Apostle Paul. All right, in Colossians 4:10, we read that Aristarchus, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, was imprisoned with Paul. In Philemon, verse 23, we read that Epaphras was imprisoned with Paul. Now, could it be that Timothy also was in prison with Paul? Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty. And the word there is literally the word released, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Salute. So whoever wrote this was an acquaintance with and traveler with Timothy. So here's the thing. It doesn't explicitly, overtly say Timothy was incarcerated with me. But if, Paul named Epaphras and Aristarchus that were both in prison with him at one time, it's not too hard to imagine that maybe Timothy was arrested for preaching the gospel. Bert, am I imposing too much onto that?
I don't think you are. Either way, the release is, we know where Paul is, and he's releasing him. He has been released. Therefore, Paul says, I'm releasing him to come to you. You know what I mean? Right. You know, Paul, what was Paul always doing? That's what he was doing. He had what we would call an entourage, and he would usually come to a place and leave a few there and take some with him. Sometimes he would send them before he left so they would be preparing the way. So here's what Paul always was doing. He was always connecting with others. And I think that's a model for that. And I agree with you. This sounds like Timothy may have been him using these words. Alex, I think it's more likely that he was. I'll put it that way.
And, you know, Paul always talks about the church and those outside the church, but he says, salute them that have the rule over you. In other words, greet them and all the saints. In other words, those outside the church, those inside the church, you know, show them respect, even love. Then they of Italy salute you. All right. Now, here's the thing. It says they from Italy is really the Greek preposition here. I'm sorry, I should say preposition. It, you know, there are those that are in Italy, Christians that are, you know, Italian. So whoever's writing this has been there and led people to Christ, ministered. This is a person that the whole church looks to. Don't you get that impression, Bert?
I certainly do, because notice what he does. Look back in 17, he talks about obeying those that rule over you, and he talks about that. Then in verse 24, he repeats it again, but it's a different word. Greet all those who rule over you. In other words, Paul was saying, I want you to greet these pastors, these ministers, these servants, these disciples. There's a family that came through AFA today, and they was visiting, taking the tour. They were from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. They're listening. We met their two children, just enjoyed meeting with them. And we were talking about their pastor that's going to come to Fishbowl and how glad it was that he was going to be able to come in October. And listen, it is because, you know, Paul knew he was talking to people and greet those who have rule over you, who are leading you, teaching you. There's that special connection that Paul was an equipper of the saints. He was an equipper. And if this was Paul, he says, I think it's saying, continue to do what I taught you to do. You know, stay in the word, live the word, and share the word. Alex, I think it means that greet those who rule over you. Paul appreciated those in leadership, did he not?
Yes, absolutely. He respected authority. And I mean, if there's anybody that could pull rank and leverage his own authority, it was Paul, but he didn't. And then finally, grace be with you all. Amen. Well, indeed. And we have the grace. We are in the grace. It's a life and eternity of grace because of Jesus Christ.
Alex, I think this also may be another Pauline idea. Peace and grace. He uses both of those in the closing. So it may have been.
A lot of these, the voice, it sounds like Paul's voice,
doesn't
it? It does.
Hey. Yeah, go ahead and give that number.
888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Call us with a Bible question, and we'll answer after this.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live. 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
You know, there are many ways we can impact the world around us. Some are more direct, like helping our neighbors and serving in our churches. Other ways are broad, like becoming community leaders or supporting missions. Of course, taking care of our families is a given. If there was a way to impact all of those at once, would you be interested? The AFA Foundation is a great way to touch your family, your neighbors, and even complete strangers all over the country. You may not realize it, but you can support AFA with a charitable gift annuity, a trust, your will, or a charitable rollover. We realize not everyone knows what those are or how to set them up, but that's okay. Many of your questions can be answered on our website, afafoundation.net. Find answers and resources to help you make an informed decision, and if your decision is to move forward, you can get in touch with Riley, Chelsea, or Jessica to start setting up your legacy. Touch more lives than you imagined possible when you visit afafoundation.net today.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. When the Spirit of God penned those words through Apostle Peter, he meant every bit of them. Christ's following is distinct from the world. Christ's followers must look different from the world. We shouldn't be surprised, then, when the world does not understand us and demonizes our faith. Jesus said, the student is not above the teacher. The world hated Jesus. We mustn't be surprised when the world hates us. We are called to be peculiar. Understand it. Embrace it. Get comfortable with it. Get used to it. We are in the world, but not of the world. Stay peculiar, my friends.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29, verse 13.
American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert, so honored that you're listening to the American Family Radio Network. By the way, the website, afr.net, you can listen to this show again. You can share a link and share the programs with somebody. And I know most people probably hear this on what we call terrestrial radio, in other words, traditional radio station. But all the great programming that you hear on AFR is on afr.net. And also, if you ever wanted to send Bert and I an email, just word@afr.net, and we'll get it. But the number for Bible questions, it's 888-589-8840. And we've got callers now. Bert, are you ready to entertain some questions?
We're ready. What did we go to first?
The great state of Alabama, Justin in Alabama. Thank you for holding, and thank you for calling. You're on.
Hey, Alex, Bert. I'm kind of a regular caller, but I mean, it just, y'all keep talking about such great stuff. I mean, I feel like I got to chime in sometimes. But, and I'm also from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, so I was like, they're telling me to call.
Amen, Justin. Hey, I love Tuscaloosa. Our oldest son, Nathan, he lived there for quite a while. He met his wife there in Tuscaloosa as they were planting a church. I love Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Go ahead, brother.
Roll Tide. Yeah. Roll Tide. Well, look.
Amen. Yes.
I'm kind of born into it. My mom's the director of financial aid at the University of Alabama, so I'm kind of, you know, anyways. But anyways, about Hebrews. A while back, I was, I kind of grew up in a more fundamental Baptist church, and they kind of preached on dispensationalism a little bit. And I know that you can get too deep into that to where you maybe twist things that aren't there. However, Paul speaks about the dispensation of the ages. He talks about, he says, I, Paul, apostle to the Gentiles. He's always given a notice of who he's talking to. He's talking to the Gentiles, and I feel like I also feel like he's a writer of Hebrews as well. But there's going to come a day and age in the future, even, that the Bible is still going to exist, and he's going to be speaking to the Hebrews. And so the word of the Lord is still going to last throughout after our rapture. And you know, so I was just saying, like, I feel like it's also Paul, and he's always addressing who he's talking to. And I feel like he didn't want to confuse anybody by saying he was Paul because of him writing, you know, him mainly talking to the Gentiles, because that's our apostle. And that's just pretty much my comment.
Okay, Justin, that's interesting. Yeah.
You're a deep thinker.
You really are. You weave that. And it really goes along with my final comment about here in verse 20, he says, the God of peace. And here in verse 25, grace be to you all. And again, peace was a Hebrew greeting. Grace was the Gentile or Greek greeting. And he does that both because he was that. So that's a great observation, Justin. And he does identify these, and these are Hebrews. And the word of God is settled in heaven. That means it is eternal. By the way, we've got some lines open. We're going to try to get to as many as we can. It's 888-589-8840. Thank you, Justin.
Amen. But by the way, the word dispensation occurs four times in the New Testament. We could do a whole show on this, and we want today. But 1 Corinthians 9:17, Ephesians 1:10, Ephesians 3:2, and Colossians 1:25. And that word, which really it means economy or arrangement, but it also means stewardship. And it's not only what we've been given, the time we've been given to do it in, but our responsibility. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:17 that a dispensation of the gospel has been assigned to me or entrusted to me. Fascinating word. And we are in, it's been said, the church age, and we've been assigned the gospel and the commission to tell the world too, haven't we, Bert?
We really have. Now, it's always been saved by grace through faith. That's right. Always, that's the one dispensation, always salvation. Yes. But God demonstrating himself and working happens in different times, and I understand that thought of how God does that, Alex. You can look at the Bible and see that, but salvation and right with God is always by grace through faith.
We're going to Virginia. Tom in Virginia, thank you for holding, and you're on the program. What's your question, Tom?
Bert and Alex, good to hear y'all today. I listen to y'all every day that I can. And I've got a couple questions. One in the King James Version, the statement in Genesis where where Satan is speaking to Eve about, did God say you can't eat of the fruit? And he says, and then there it says, did he say ye cannot eat? Well, in more recent translations, they don't use the word ye, they use the word you. Well, you is indicative of a one-on-one conversation, where in the use of the word ye in the Old English is in reference to two or more. And I was wondering if you could speak on that.
Okay. Alex, did you get all that?
A little bit was kind of muted. But you start, and I'll chime in,
well,
if you don't mind.
Here's what I know. I really do believe, Tom, it was a one-on-one conversation. It affected more than, you know, because the whole idea I've heard, I don't know who the first preacher was that I heard say that, said it didn't sound like that Adam was very far away, because it says when she pricked the fruit, she turned to her husband, you know, to talk with him. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not, how they changed that up. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've heard preachers preach that you know, Adam shared in the guilt and was there very nearby. If he didn't hear the actual conversation, he was close by enough that he was accountable, and the sin, they shared the sin together. By the way, let me just say this. People say, you know, who nailed Jesus to the cross? The Jews? Well, the Jews and the Gentiles, you know. The Jews, the Romans, the Greeks, all were a part of that crucifixion, just like all Adam and Eve, both female and male, were a part of the fall. And, of course, Satan the tempter. But that's a good question. Tom, thank you for calling. Also in Virginia, Lyle. Lyle, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Yeah, I have a question about the fear of the Lord. So, you know, I hear in the normal Christian circles that fear means reverence. And I do understand that. But when I read Matthew 10:28, and it's the words of Jesus speaking to the disciples, saying, fear not them who can kill the body and not the soul, but fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I see a context of, you know, fear, being afraid. Jesus telling them that you shouldn't be afraid of people who can harm you physically, but he who can do such finality to you. And that contrasted with Psalm 25:14, it says, friendship is reserved for those who fear God. And I understand that we are all friends of God in the new covenant, but I guess I just want some confirmation there that God does want some kind of actual fear from us to understand his power.
Lyle, thank you for this call. And we've been talking about this two or three times in recent. I'm going to use a real illustration with my dad. My dad was a good man, a godly man, a pleasant man. But I respected him. But I also had, it was more than just respect. It was a little bit, I knew I better behave. I knew I better obey him, because I would suffer the consequences of his discipline. Now, Alex, the respect is there, but also that knowledge that I know what my dad would do, and he would do it in love. He never lost it all and abused me and beat me, but in his context as my dad, I loved him. I respected him because he walked and talked the same message. And that was awesome to see. But at the same time, I knew there was some, I don't know, it's not the word afraid. That's the problem that you have. But there was that fear, a knowledge of knowing, hey, we call it down here in Mississippi, if I didn't do right, I was going to get my comeuppance. In other words, I was going to get what was due me. Go ahead.
Well, let me tell you, growing up, and listen, I had a godly daddy. He's in heaven now. But when he reached for that belt buckle, my sister and I knew we better get straight right quick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was good for us. My dad was never, never abusive. I wouldn't have known to describe it this way, but he always acted redemptively.
Yeah.
When literally I had a baseball that hit the window and broke the glass, and he let me work and pay for it to replace the glass, and he helped me. Together we put it in. He put it in, really. I learned how to glaze and do spackling around a window. But my dad would punish us, but it was always to learn a lesson. All right, the word in Matthew 10:28, fear the one that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You know, it's the word, believe it or not, and I'm sure you probably don't hear this preached on, but it's the word phobia. And it does mean fear. Now, elsewhere in the New Testament, there's the word, the terror of the Lord, in 2 Corinthians 5. But here's the word, and I know you're going to relate, Bert. It's the word dread.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Imagine you're a kid, and you're doing something you ought not, and you hear the sound, oh, no, mom's here, like dread. Now, here's the thing. Does God love us? Yes. Is he a God of grace? Yes. When you become a born-again believer, he remembers our sin no more. But I got to say, we're in a culture that would do well to get a healthy fear, even dread, at least in the sense of judgment. We should fear God again, and I think our culture very much looks like a culture that at this moment doesn't.
Yep.
Fear God.
Lyle, thank you for that. Great. And your observation, I think there's a balance there. And yep. Alex and I tried to give that balance in word and example. Thank you, brother.
We're going to Paul in Texas. Paul, thank you for holding, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, Alex. How's it going? Hey, bro. How you doing?
Doing good, brother.
Right on. So I'm surprised no one asked this question, but have you guys seen any correlation? And I don't want to get too conspiratorial, but like, have you seen any correlation between, say, Revelation 13:1 and so on, and Thessalonians, where it talks about the mortal wound and how Trump just suffered that wound and everyone will wonder at him? And I'm not trying to extinguish a patriotic flame because I don't want that to be the case, but has that crossed your guys' mind by any chance?
Alex, there's something about that. I just want to share with you, Paul. Here's my take on all this. And when that we're going to see glimpses or shadows, just like the temple was a shadow, the high priest was a shadow of Jesus, Ben. We're going to be shadows and see things, and we connect it with what's going to happen. But that's my connection, Alex. It foreshadows something that's going to happen. Is that a bad way to put it?
No, I don't think it's a bad way to put it. You know, I think some of the signs that we are near the end of history has been just really the global abandonment of moral truth, the wiring of the planet, wars and rumors of wars.
Lawlessness.
Yeah. Yes. The greatest precursor to the end of time certainly must be the return of the Jews to the land of Israel. You know, and that's been 76 years ago. There would be an increase in false prophets. There'd be ongoing conflict in the Middle East. You know, interestingly, the Wesleys and Luther believed that near the time of Christ's return, there would be a rise in what they called Mohammedism. We call it Islam. But also, just before the rapture, there's going to be a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, great revival, and the growth of the Christian church. I think we're nearing, will it be in our lifetime or 100 years from now? Only the Lord knows. But we do know what to do, and that's to be busy about the gospel. Thank you, Paul. I want to see if we can get another call in before the end of the show. Deborah, in my home state of North Carolina. Welcome to the program, Deborah.
Hi, thank you. I just want to know about the children. We're going to be teaching about the Bible in school. Do you know what version and what subjects they're going to be teaching?
Alex, did you get that?
I know, like in Louisiana, they're posting the Ten Commandments, which I think is a wonderful thing. In a number of other states, they're talking about that. Do you know there are a number of programs where the Bible is being taught in school? I don't know what version, but you know, whether it's the King James, I would suspect many of the classes that teach the Bible as literature, for a number of reasons, do use the King James Version. Maybe some use newer versions, but letting kids have religious freedom and the freedom to explore God's Word, that's always a good thing. Don't you think, Bert?
The Word of God will stand. That's the whole idea. Let the Word of God, it will go forth and it will accomplish what God sets it forth to do. Thank you for that good call, Deborah. Listen, tomorrow's Fire Away Friday. Alex, are you ready?
Let's do it tomorrow. It's going to be all calls, all questions for the whole hour. Tell somebody about Exploring the Word, if you would. But most of all, tell everybody about Jesus. We hope to see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.